Congregation, we open the Word of God and read Lamentations chapter 3, the verses 1 through 26. That is Lamentation chapter 3, the verses 1 through 26. And there we read God's holy word. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath built against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon is formed by verse 22. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. So far. Beloved congregation, there are times in life when one tends to look back and when one tends to look ahead. We're at the beginning of a new year, 2012, and around this time there is this inclination to look back and also to look ahead. And especially as we may see one another again, we think back of many memories of the past many years. We tend to look back, and yet we also tend to look ahead, to look at the future. If we look back at this past year, we still remember the funeral of Sister Halberdina Visser, our oldest member, and also the oldest member of the denomination, who passed away on February 18. And we also recall Sister Corrie Leekstra, whose funeral was conducted on June the 9th, and who had passed away on June the 6th. And if we look back, we also realize that 2011 was an eventful year for us as a congregation and as a minister. that we had to, my wife and I had to go to Middle Harness, and now life in that regard has changed for us. But we're also very grateful that the preaching, the regular preaching continues, and the pastoral oversight continues here in Hamilton and also in the preaching station of Woodstock. And we're grateful also that my wife and I have been well received in Middle Harness. So as we look back, we can see many blessings in the midst of many changes. And we can look back and say that the Lord has been good and faithful to us in the midst of many changes. But also if we, at the beginning of this new year, we tend to look back, we also must realize that we have not been faithful to the Lord. And it's fitting for us that we would utter the words of Psalm 79 in the Psalter rendition. Recall no more the sins we have committed, but may they all in pity be remitted. Because if we look at ourselves, we must say there is none righteous, no, not one. And if we may look back and see God's faithfulness, we also see our own unfaithfulness. And we should say the Lord is gracious and merciful to undeserving people as we are. We just read a portion of Lamentations chapter 3. And boys and girls, what is the setting of this difficult book, Lamentations? Lamentations, what does that actually mean, boys and girls? It means cries. A lamentation is something you cry out when you have much grief, when you're very sorrowful, when you're grieving the loss of someone, then you lament, then you have a lamentation. So then you speak all kinds of sorrowing words. You're very sorrow, you're crying, you have grief. That's a lamentation. And now we read here from this book, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Well, you know Jeremiah, he was a prophet. And why is he uttering then these lamentations, this sorrow and grief? Because something very bad has happened. What has happened? Well, Jerusalem has been destroyed. And why was it destroyed? Well, you know that. Because the people did no longer serve the Lord. They worshipped idols. They didn't serve the Lord. And the Lord sent their prophets. Many prophets had come. Isaiah and Micah and Jeremiah and many more. But they didn't listen, did they? They said, no, we will continue worshipping the idols. And then the Lord warned them that punishment would come, and then punishment came. The Babylonians came with King Nebuchadnezzar, and he destroyed the whole city, and many people were killed, and many people taken away as prisoners back to Babylon. And so the prophet Jeremiah, he could stay in Jerusalem, in that country, for a little while, and then he also with others went to Egypt. But anyway, at this stage here, Jeremiah is writing what happened to the city of Jerusalem. And then he says, so many terrible things happened to us. The Lord Himself was against us. But then Jeremiah still says, but the Lord was still good for us. In spite of all the punishments that we received, we had deserved much worse. And that's why he says in Lamentations 3:22, while you hear first a whole, all these verses with bad, terrible things happened to Jeremiah and to the people of Israel. He is speaking here on behalf of the people. He is using the singular form. I am the man that hath seen affliction. And verse 6, he hath set me in dark places. And in verse 12, he hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. In verse 13, he hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. In verse 14, I was a derision to all my people. What does Jeremiah mean? He is speaking on behalf of the people of Israel, of Judah, and he is including himself in them too. The Israelites, the people of Judah, they were a mockery to the people who lived out around Israel, around Judah. They mocked them and laughed at them that they were now being taken away into exile. And it seemed as if the Lord himself was against them, shooting arrows at them. But then in the midst of all this, and suddenly we see a change. In verse 20, 21, it says there, 21, "This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And we focus then on verse 22. "It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." You see the surprising change in this. And that's what we hope to consider this morning. And we consider Jeremiah's conclusion. And we see in the first place our unworthiness. In the second place, the Lord's mercies. In the third place, our duty. So Jeremiah's conclusion, we see in the first place our unworthiness, in the second place the Lord's mercies, and in the third place our duty. The prophet Jeremiah experienced the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. There was a terrible famine, there were sicknesses, many people had been killed because they had said farewell to the Lord. And now Jeremiah, he writes how the Lord had been against the people and how awful it was. But he says, still we have not been consumed. The people had deserved to be cast away forever. And Jeremiah includes himself in that as well. He doesn't say, "I'm better." No, he realizes he doesn't deserve anything either. Because Jeremiah knows there's none good, no, not one. The people of Judah deserve to be destroyed. And how is it with us, congregation? What did we deserve to receive? It's not so pleasant to hear this, but doesn't the Lord give us a clear description of who we actually are? Doesn't the Lord say in his word that there is none righteous, no, not one? And is it not very fitting then to say of us, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed? And doesn't Moses, the man of God, doesn't he say in Psalm 90, verse 7 and 8, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Because the fact is that we sin against a good-doing God. And by our sins we violate the law of God in my thinking, in my speech, by my attitude. And that's why we are entitled to nothing. It may be hard for us to imagine, but that's the reality. We do not deserve to come to church. A minister does not deserve to preach the word. And if we look back at this past year, even our whole lives, is it not fitting for us to say, "I will do confession. I will make confession of my transgressions." Because Jeremiah tells us we all ought to have been under God's punishments. And why is that? Because we have sinned. That's the cause. And that's not a light matter. We do things we don't think twice about anymore. We've done things that we have forgotten. And we just brush it over and we look at ourselves and we think, "Well, We're not that bad. But how are we, congregation? God told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And did we honor our neighbor? Or did we lend our ear when people were speaking bad about our neighbor and we wanted to hear that? Have we maybe ourselves been slanderous? Have we maybe been pretending, hypocritical, that we are not honest and sincere in our dealings with others? And who of us is free of pride? Who of us doesn't think that he or she is doing it quite good? Better than others, at least. Isn't that how we view ourselves? Are we not self-centered in our thinking? We want to elevate ourselves. We think we deserve so many blessings. We think we deserve so much good. But still, pride, which is an abomination in the sight of the Lord, or justifying ourselves, which holds no water before the Lord, or our thoughts. Could you control your thoughts of lust, of immorality? Or what did we do with our eyes? Were you looking at things you should never have been looking at? And your tongue. The tongue. Who of us can keep his tongue in check? A small member. If you can do that, then you're a perfect man. Have we longed for the Lord above everything else? Have we loved the Lord above all? Have we sought Him above all? Or have we at times been plain disobedient to the Lord and we knew it? The Lord told us not to covet the things that belong to another. Should we not be sincere before the Lord and say, Lord, I am covered with putrefying sores. I'm a leper from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. One by one, the commandments of God accuse us. The Lord says we should not take the name of the Lord, our God, in vain. And yet, have we not used His word, His name, and have we not spoken of most holy matters? And our thoughts were not even focused on what we were saying. And the Sabbath day, sure, we go twice to church on the Lord's day, and we don't go to places of amusement on the Lord's day. But still, have we sanctified, have we hallowed the day of the Lord? And then the legacy we have from Adam. Our original guilt, our original sin and corruption, so we can continue. And should we not conclude, if we look back, we are sinners before God? And so there's only one place where you and I need to be. Also, when we look back, one place that's at the foot of the cross, at the cross of Calvary. Because also now the Lord still comes to us with His word. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, it's a blessing when we realize, as we look back and we draw a conclusion, the final conclusion so far of our lives, is there not much reason to say for you and me, we have failed, we have fallen short. We have a burden. And what a blessing to realize that. And to realize that the Lord does not want us to walk around with a burden. That He did not even want the people of Israel and of Judah to be walk around with such a terrible burden of guilt. And they refused to repent. They didn't want to stop. They kept on with all this social injustice and all their taking the name of the Lord in vain, and all their idolatry and their immorality and their extortions that they were doing. It was terrible. And then the Lord smote them and punished them. Not just a few punches here and there, but people died. People realized it because of our sins, and then they went into Babylon. And what happened there? There they realized this is because our fathers and we with them have served the idols. And then you see the whole change of it all. It turned out to be very educational and healing. They came back after 70 years, and then you don't hear any more of idolatry among the people of Israel after that. Because the Lord wanted to save them. And the Lord wished to carry out His plan of salvation. The Lord Jesus would come. That's why He did not make an end to the people, though they had deserved it. You know, it's a blessing to realize if you have a burden. And a greater blessing to know that God is willing to remove that burden. And what a blessing to bring our guilt to the altar that God has set up. And then to see that that heavy burden will roll off our back and be cast into the depths of the sea because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And then the miracle is applied to your heart. I remember your sins no more. And that takes place in the way of confessing. And then you say it's true what Jeremiah said. I know of others who were snatched out of his life. Maybe boys I used to go to school with and no longer here. And that should have happened to me as well. But God didn't do it. Because it's of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed, because His compassions fail not. And so we go further and we see the Lord's mercies. Because if we so tend to look back, we must also point out God's mercies. And you remember that Hebrew word for mercies? That beautiful, full, all-encompassing word for the mercies of the Lord, the word chesed. That word chesed, which is all the riches of the loving kindness and the goodness and the mercies. It's the fountain of all God's goodness from which flows all His gifts of mercy and grace and loving kindness and compassion and patience. It all flows forth from His will, from His chesed. That's an attribute of God. The fullness of care and love. And you know that it's a common word. We have seen this before. And it's mentioned many times in the Old Testament. And it's also translated in several different ways because it's just a full, encompassing word. And that's what Jeremiah is referring to. Because in spite of what we have all done, in spite of what we deserve, God's mercies, His chesed, has remained. It's His mercies. They have not been removed. They have not been shut up. Because God remembers His covenant, His goodness, His mercy flowing to us. What a contrast. Our sins and His goodness, His riches of His loving kindness. It's only because of His grace that we receive it. It's His mercies. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's His goodness, His loving kindness, because God remembers His covenant mercies. He had established His covenant with the people of Judah. And the Lord remembers His covenant. That's why we just sang Psalter 241. Those four verses speaking about God's covenant, faithfulness. And we know we've so often at administration of baptism, God's truth will stand forever. And His covenant bonds He will not sever, and all this flows forth from His loving kindness and His mercies. And that's why the people of Judah were not consumed. They had sinned terribly, but the Lord was faithful to them while they were not faithful to Him. And in the midst of His judgments, He remembered mercies. As the fruit of His loving kindness, God was faithful to His covenant. And God will work out faith and repentance in the lives of these people when nothing else would help. Then finally, as the last resort, then get the Babylonians in. And then they will squeal. And then they will realize that it's because of their sins. And then they will repent. Then they will sit at Babylon's streams and weep for what God had done to them because of their sins. And then they will return. And then I will embrace them. And when they say there's nothing in Jerusalem anymore but just rubble, and the Lord says, I see walls. Thy walls are continually before me, because God's chesed, His mercies, God remembers them. And all this is only explained through the Lord Jesus. How can the Holy God show mercy to undeserving people? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is still to come. Because God punishes the sinner in Christ. The sins of all His people were laid upon Christ, and Christ bore that unbearable load. God executed His wrath upon the sinner in Christ and upon His Son. And through Christ, the Lord opens a way to be gracious and merciful to an adulterous, undeserving, unworthy people. And they receive His goodness and His loving kindness. And therefore, when we think about God's loving kindness and His mercies also given to us in many ways, we must think of Christ. Because it's all through Christ. In Psalm 90 we read, we are consumed by Thy wrath. But in Lamentations 3 it says that His compassions fail not. We read in James 2 verse 13 that mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And that's why Jeremiah here glories in the riches of God's loving kindness, while we deserve nothing but to be brought to an end. It's over. It's done. But God carries on. He's gracious. He has not consumed us. And it's all through the Lord Jesus. And that's why Paul later on would write in 1 Timothy 1:16, how be it for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should believe on Him hereafter to life everlasting. So what is Paul saying there? I'm an example of God's mercies, so that others may see that and take courage and flee to this God and Savior. And what are we seeing here in Lamentations? The same thing. The people ought to have been annihilated, and yet the Lord carries on with them because of His mercies. It's an example to us to grasp courage and to look beyond all our failings, to look beyond ourselves to Him, the rock, hard, firm, strong, enduring riches of His loving kindness through Christ Jesus. If you look at that word mercies a bit further, it's connected in Hebrew often with the intestines. With the intestines, yes. Because the intestines of the Hebrew is the place of great yearning, of great desire, of even of love. And so the Lord, with His loving kindness, in a human way it's put, that he with his inner organs, with his intestines, he longs, he yearns, he is bowed under it for the salvation of his people, and he will save them, every one of them, because it's his compassion. Those whom he desires to save, he will save. It's his deep mercy. It's his compassion. It's the same with the Lord Jesus. He is also the compassionate high priest. In Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The Lord Jesus is a merciful and faithful high priest. And we see the same loving kindness of God revealed in Christ as mediator in Hebrews 4:15, that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. So we see here in the Lord Jesus these compassions of the Lord. Those are the same compassions, the same mercies that Jeremiah is referring to here. And his people may say these compassions of the Lord are endless. That with the Lord there's an infinite, limitless love to his people. We are therefore not consumed, Jeremiah says. It's like the burning bush in the wilderness, and yet not consumed. That's how it is with the church. The church can be persecuted, but not forsaken. It can be cast down, but not destroyed, 2 Corinthians 4:9. And all this care for the Lord, for His church, comes from His fountain of His mercies. And all the care and the compassion the Lord has for a congregation that comes forth from His inner being, of being moved with love for the well-being of his congregation. The Lord is filled with care for his church. But also very personally in your and my life, that we have been spared up to this present day, that the Lord did not cut us off. It's because of the same mercies. And that as a congregation we have been spared and not consumed. It's the Lord's mercies. But if you look at your life, maybe there are hardships in your life. Maybe there are setbacks in your life. And if you look back at the past, maybe even this past year, you see hardship upon hardship, maybe. But you can still say, I'm still here. For the Lord's mercies were new every day. And the Lord also now knows how to pour out comfort and how to uphold and how to give above expectation. That we may say, great is thy faithfulness. Because even in this past year, with the hardships I went through, every day God sent his Son to me to support me and to uphold me. And every day he called me to be washed of all my sins in his blood. And every day the rich grace of God and his abounding love was shown to me. I could still see God's care for my family or for my loved ones. And he still gave me strength every day to carry on. Actually, he carried me all the days, even of old already, all along. And Therefore, Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. And every day God comes to us with a gift of the Son of His love. He offers eternal life, peace, consolation and strength. And He comes to us in His Son, the Lord Jesus. God is not obliged to send us His Son. He's not obliged to leave us under the preaching of His Word. It's all His free love. And then we overlook all His free love and all His faithfulness and His goodness and His strength and His support and His kindness and the preaching we may receive from Lord's Day to Lord's Day and the eminent privileges we receive and His carrying love. If we see it all, well, that brings us to consider our duty. Our duty. And there are several matters we can consider when you look at what our duty is. In the first place, how we should humble ourselves. Humiliation. Is that not the first duty? When we look at our own lives, we all have our own sin. We don't have to look at someone else. And this is also said, this is also what Jeremiah says. He includes himself. He says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Jeremiah doesn't say, well, it's of the Lord's mercies that the people of Judah have not been consumed. Jeremiah doesn't point to King Zedekiah and to the priest and the false prophet and say, well, they should have listened, then all these calamities would not have fallen upon us. If only the leaders of the people would have listened to my preaching, then we would not have had this all. That's not what Jeremiah says. He includes himself. He speaks on behalf of the people, but he speaks also on his own behalf. And you know, he's an example for us. We have enough, really, to look at our own guilt. He in this same chapter, in verse 39 and 40, wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. We don't need to complain about others. Let's complain to the Lord about ourselves. That's what Jeremiah does. He was a faithful prophet, but he also had his sins as we do. He humbled himself. Is it not time for us that we would humble ourselves, seeing his mercies anew? He gives so much. Is it not necessary for us to humble ourselves? Is that not a duty, the first duty? And the second duty, there should be amazement, being amazed. Because if you look to yourself, then it becomes a miracle that God has upheld you, at least if your eyes are open to the reality of your own existence, then you will be amazed that you're still here. Have you been afflicted, smitten maybe in this past year? But the Lord has not afflicted or smitten as we deserve. He has dealt with us still in mercy. Maybe you had a financial setback, but you didn't go bankrupt. I talked to someone the other day who was going bankrupt. And he said, but still, I'm very blessed in my marriage, in my family. I can still see the undeserved mercies the Lord has given to me. You know, let there be amazement in your heart for all God's goodness. If you notice and you oversee all your life, you will discover many blessings. If you just look and see and count and number the blessings. And you will marvel. Jeremiah is marveling here. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. That's what we should also do. Let there be amazement in our lives. But also let there be trust. It's another element of this duty. Trust. When you see God's mercies resting upon you, let there be trust. Don't break out in grumbling. Resist the temptation to complain. But look upon the mercies, upon the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Even in the midst of setbacks, even in the midst of difficulties that can be very severe, that can be very painful, very hard, very difficult. It is true that life is not always easy, and that sometimes you do wade through floods, and sometimes the water is rising, and sometimes the water can even come to the lips, but the water will not overflow you. Because the everlasting God cares for all those who look to Him. He cares for you. Trust Him. And that can give you strength. And all this can only take place in His strength. He gives the strength that you may trust Him. Hope in the Lord. Seek Him for strength. That you would trust Him. That you would say, "Rest still, my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Hope in the Lord. Flee to Him. Ask Him to give you strength. So we need grace that we would not complain. We need grace to bear the burdens of life. And we need grace to ask Him for strength to carry on. It's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And then there's a fourth duty, and that is repentance. When you see the wealth of God's loving kindness for you, that you've received so much, while you deserve so little, let there be a desire in your heart for repentance. For God worked repentance in your life. Oh, let there be the reality of that ongoing repentance in the lives of you, children of God. And you who are still outside of the Lord, let there be this repentance in you. For the Lord leads sinners to repentance, especially when you see the riches of His goodness and His forbearance and His long-suffering, then the goodness of the Lord leads you to repentance. Don't you know that? Paul writes in Romans 2 verse 4. When we see our own unworthiness, we ought to have been destroyed. And when you look upon all of God's mercy for you personally, then it will be with you as was with the prodigal son when he was sitting there beside the pigs in misery. Then he realized that his father was good and that he had misbehaved himself towards his father. And then he returned to the house of his father. And perhaps there's someone here in church who also has wrong thoughts of God. Maybe there's someone here who is blaming God for setbacks in his life. But when the Lord opens your eyes for the reality of all His goodness for you, and you see your own unfaithfulness towards Him, then you'll do just like the prodigal son did. And you can't remain carrying on in your own narrow-minded life. You can't remain sitting with those pigs, but you must return to the Lord and say, "Lord, I have sinned against Thee." Well, maybe it's now time for you to return to the Lord in genuine repentance. And what is that? Confessing that you have sinned. Confessing that the Lord is good. Confessing that you're not worthy to be called His child anymore. and yet to plead for His mercy. May I be like one of Thy lowest slaves who belong to Thy household. That's repentance. That's what the Lord calls us to do. The Lord does not call us to wait until we feel something working in us, whatever that may be. But the Lord calls us to take our cues from the prodigal son. That's repentance. And you do that when you see the goodness of the Father's house. And when you see really that you have spoiled everything. Is it not time now? When we're heading into a new year, 2012, is it not time for repentance? Is the Lord not worth it? Has He not been good to us? Can any one of us accuse Him of being unfaithful, of being harsh, of being unjust? I've been often in your midst, privileged to visit those with serious sicknesses on deathbeds who knew the grace of the Lord and never heard I one complaint that God was unjust, was harsh. They realized it's the Lord's goodness, even in the midst of affliction. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Can any one of us accuse God of being unjust? Well, is it then not time for repentance? He has been so good to you, and you still live so far away from Him. Oh, confess to Him that you need Him, and that you don't want to live on anymore without Him. You need the living Savior because His loving kindnesses are new every morning. You need the living Savior because He gave Himself so that you could be saved, every one of us. And He invites you and calls you to turn to Him. You're in the time of grace. And it's all through Christ. And through Christ, you are invited to have a direct access to God. For Jesus' sake, the Lord God blessed you. And for Jesus' sake, the Lord God brings you under His Word and is willing to give you grace for grace, the grace of salvation. Do not turn away from such a good God. For the day will come when the Lord will ask us, I called you, why did you not come? What injustice did I ever do to you? Was I not patient with you? Did I not bless you? Did I not give you so many privileges, spiritual blessings, preaching, ongoing? I took a minister away, but I continued with the preaching of His God's Word in your midst, the Lord will say to you. And what will you then say? If you must, you say, but I didn't want to. I despised all Thy goodness. And I elevated myself because I wanted to have things my own way. Oh, why don't we sit down beside the prodigal? There's no need for any of us to have to be cast away into endless outer darkness where there are no mercies left and nothing of the loving kindness of the Lord left, but only night and tears and pain. For that will happen to those who refuse to repent, but let that not happen to any of us, because His compassions fail not. Therefore now turn to Him and beg Him for His grace in your life to set you free. Amen.